Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Metals One has been one of the busiest junior mining companies on the London market over the past 6 or 7 months. Here to talk us through what's been happening and what's going to happen, it's Craig Moulton and Dan Melling. Hello, guys.
Hi, Alistair.
How's are you going?
Yeah, good to see you. I'm fine, thanks. So where should we start? I think perhaps we could start with the commodity mix. I mean, you guys have been doing a lot of deals. There's been an emphasis on uranium in the most recent deal flow. But you've obviously broadened your portfolio quite considerably over the last few months. So tell us a little bit about the motivations behind that and what it means.
Yeah, look, I think that's quite right. There has been a strong focus on uranium, particularly within the US. We see it as an area of strong growth and demand, particularly for the forward needs for uranium in the US, and the fact that it imports a lot of that material at the moment. So we've found some really interesting projects, picked some of our own ground. Plus, we've also done a couple of project deals as well. So we initially picked the Squaw Creek Uranium Project, which is in Wyoming. And then after that, the Uravan Uranium and Vanadium Project in Colorado. And then, of course, more recently, you would have seen that we did the deal with the Red Basin Uranium Project in New Mexico. So some really well-known jurisdictions for uranium that are have quality projects, but it is certainly a strong thematic within our strategy at the moment.
So I believe you guys are interested in gold as well, Craig.
Yeah, that's correct. So once again, gold's a strong thematic. We have some ground at the Swales Gold Project, which is in the Carlin Trend, well known jurisdiction. Very large deposits owned by the likes of Barrick and Newmont. And we also have recently a small interest in a company called Fulcrum, which is looking at some novel ways of processing gold tailings, tidying up previous mining, etc. So, that's recent. We're starting some work on the exploration ground and we will continue to moving forwards as well.
So we touched at the top of the interview about the amount of deal flow there's been. So perhaps it's worthwhile just quickly ticking off exactly how the company's portfolio of assets looks now. I mean, what are the assets? Can we go through them perhaps one by one? Maybe not all of them, but the sort of project highlights which you have it both in Scandinavia and in the USA now.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, it all started obviously initially with the projects in Scandinavia. We had the Black Schist project in Finland, which we still do. A lot of work's been done on that. We've got that to, 57 million tonne JORC resource. We do believe there's a fair bit of upside potential there. We also have the Rana project, which is in Norway. It's a nickel intrusive. It's the same sort of style as the Voisey's Bay, so very large copper nickel PGE project. I'll just cover off, I guess, while we're in that part of the world. We recently acquired, and I'm not going to try and pronounce it because my Norwegian is terrible, I'm just going to call it the Lill project, in Norway. And that's also a really interesting project. It has had some of the highest grade PGE surface samples at 17.5 grams per tonne, palladium platinum. Since then, we've diversified the strategy a little bit, as we've started to talk about already. So we, in terms of gold, we have the Swales tenements that we pegged in the Carlin Trend, as I mentioned before. And then moving into the uranium, we then have three projects there. The initial tenements, which is the Squaw Creek uranium project in Wyoming. We have the Uravan uranium vanadium projects in Colorado, which also includes some other projects, the Vanadium King, Wedding Bell, and rhodium projects. And then more recently, obviously, we've done the, as I said before, with the Red Basin project, which is in New Mexico. So it is quite an extensive portfolio one way or now, another now.
So you've been very busy so far this year. What are your plans for the rest of the second half of this year and perhaps into 2026?
Look, I think it's going to be a combination. We that model, I think we are seeing is presenting a good opportunity for our shareholders and investors in terms of finding these projects. We're fairly careful about the projects that we get involved in, but they are on a model which offers diversification, but it also offers the opportunity to see value uplift without committing to massive expenditures necessarily within any one particular project. So I think we'll continue to look at opportunities like that whilst we also look at starting to develop the projects that we have. But depending on the deal and the relationship, of course, within the current portfolio.
So you mentioned expenditure there. Let's move a little bit towards the issue of money and finance, and perhaps we can bring Dan in at this stage. So how does it look from that perspective? You did a very sort of creative and interesting funding earlier in this year. There's been a lot of warrants flying around. What's the situation as far as the way that the company is set up financially?
Yeah, you're right, Alistair. And look, we put that to shareholders in late March. The financing package was built around a warrant structure, which is quite common in Canada and the US, but hadn't sort of seen too much in London up until our sort of presentation of it. But what that did for us was give us the confidence to go out and to commit to some new projects and make sure that we're properly funded for those that we already had in the portfolio too. So we're seeing now that the prepaid element of that is now fully exercised and in the capital structure. And we've gone through half the cash warrants as well. So there's still probably half the warrants to come in, and then that will come in with some cash associated with it. And if you do the math on the number of warrants exercised in terms of the cash funds, and you add that to the net 3 million we had when the original financing, you'll get a feel for our current cash balance, which is very healthy. We've intentionally entered sort of new projects that don't have a lot of sort of near-term commitment to them. It gives our own team and advisors, consultants, a chance to come up with the right exploration plan. And then, ultimately, when it comes to drilling some of these projects out, some later in the year and probably most of them during the course of the next 2 years, we'll look at attracting larger partners for those that make sense. But we've also got some flexibility now because of this cash balance to actually go further along that exploration curve if we choose to. So look, the financing in terms of where the board sits and what we put in front of shareholders back in March has definitely been effective, I think, in achieving that outcome of stabilizing our balance sheet, being able to diversify the portfolio, not overcommit ourselves. We don't need to. We're still, a small cap exploration, principal group. We are probably moving into a bit more of a portfolio approach. And that comes from the pedigree of the team. We see some opportunities here to be able to go in and help some of these smaller projects that have probably been a bit unloved and unfunded. And we've been fortunate enough to pick some up in some great jurisdictions with some great data and, some little niche opportunities there that we're happy to bring those to the public markets.
I mean, one way or another, we do know that the markets are paying attention to Metals One. The share price has sort of moved considerably since the financing that you referred to just then. It's strengthened overall, and I mean, I might hazard the statement that actually this Metals One financing was heralding a slight recovery in the mining sector. I mean, it sort of woke everybody up and said, well, this is still possible. We can still be creative in this space and make things happen.
Yeah, look, and I think it's opened up a flow of capital again from, the other side of the world, the US and Canada in particular in our case. So look, we're seeing that. Hopefully it's spreading down into other, listed companies on the LSE. And I guess indirectly we've been able to support, a few of those scenarios and situations. And no, I think in the long run it's a good thing. But ultimately we'll have to deliver on the projects. These projects need to be real and identifiable, but we're very focused on, if we're entering new projects, we're in control of the expenditure around them. If we're entering more expensive projects, we've got a clear and near to medium term exit strategy in place. We want to be cycling these things through. So no, we're pretty happy with how things have worked out.
Well, finally, to close out, we've spoken about the projects individually, and we've spoken about the way the company is financed. Perhaps we could just have a final word from either or both of you guys about the sort of broader strategy. The company essentially has diversified into the USA, let's say. We've talked about the commodity diversification, but actually, strategically, you're now very invested in the US, and that wasn't the case at the beginning of the year. So just to sort of wrap it up, perhaps we could have a sort of a final word or two on why that makes sense and what the benefits of doing it that way are.
Look, I think I'll go first. I think it's sort of paraphrasing what I said earlier around jurisdictional risk, the commodity trend, and so not only I think we're very strong on the sort of thematic for gold and the uranium, but those trends are also getting driven very strongly in the US. They do from an operational point of view, it. We've been able to access good projects and they're relatively easy areas to operate in. So I think that aligns. It's more of a case of alignment from my perspective around, jurisdiction, commodity and demand and the ability to operate as much as anything. And that's how that's aligned in my opinion. But Dan, you're
Oh, look, I agree, Craig. I mean, US, yes, we were led there with probably what the market forces, that are in front of us. And there are other jurisdictions that are safe mining jurisdictions, but are caught up in a lot of red tape, whether it's the politics or their own situations in country. So, you don't want a long lag between putting your dollar into the ground and getting a return or having certainty around getting a return on those exploration dollar spend. So the US made sense. Look, there will be other jurisdictions that make sense too for some of those reasons. So yeah, we're on the lookout for more, but we've got a good stable behind us now.
Well, it's been exciting to watch you guys over the last few months, and hopefully it'll continue to be exciting and interesting. I thank you for your time, Craig Moulton and Dan Malling, and I really appreciate talking to you today.
Cheers, Alistair.
Cheers, Alistair. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.